Okay, well, for you and all the other book lovers out there, no doubt you've heard this opening line from a novel. It goes like this: "It was a dark and stormy night." It may be a famous first line, right, Catherine? But
very famous.
Do you know who wrote it?
Well, I'm a word geek. That's really not fair.
That would be Victorian novelist Edward Bulwer Lytton in his 1830 book, Paul Clifford. And in his honor, the English department at San Jose State University has held a contest the past 26 years asking for the best, for the very best of the very worst opening lines. We're going to take a look at some of those entries, and a twist. We've invited HarperCollins editor Dawn Davis to ride along with us and give us her perspective. Welcome, Dawn.
Good morning. Good morning, Eudora.
Give us the ingredients of what goes into the best, worst opening line of a book.
Well, overriding, too many adjectives, and not enough kind of intrigue about what happens next.
Now, and I should tell folks that you know what you're talking about as a Pulitzer Prize-winning editor of books, and she came out with that list very quickly, Catherine.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to take it down. Overriding, check. What was the next one?
Well, basically, not enough mystery, and the characters aren't intriguing enough. You haven't set it up so that we want to keep going.
All right.
But overriding is the worst.
Okay, well, let's take a look at, or a listen, rather, as I read one of the entries. Here we go, Dawn. "The hardened detective glanced at his rookie partner and mused that whoever had coined the term white as a sheet had never envisioned a bed accessorized with a set of hazelnut 500-count Egyptian cotton linens from Ralph Lauren."
Now, one of the things I think I said earlier on was too many adjectives. There's too much going on in that sentence. There's a lot of overriding. She kind of lost me at accessorized. I was trying to hang on there, and then once we got into what the bed sheets were accessorized with, I knew we were in trouble.
All right. Let's try this one then. And think more like The Hobbit. This is the direction we're going in. "Toads of glory, slugs of joy," sang Groin the dwarf as he trotted jovially down the path before a great dragon ate him, because the author knew that the story was a train wreck after he typed the first few words.
Well, it sounds like the author indeed.
I'm like, toads of glory.
You come on, you've heard stuff worse than this.
No, I think
maybe.
Toads of Glory got her.
She says, all right, here's one last one, and then we're going to get to the person who actually won. "Like a mechanic who forgets to wipe his hands on a shop rag and then goes home, hugs his wife, and gets a grease stain on her favorite sweater. Love touches you and marks you forever." Dawn?
See, I thought that one was pretty good until we got to love hugs you or gets you forever. She's mixing metaphors, and it wasn't working for me.
Okay, now you're a harsh one. Why don't we actually listen to the person, the man who actually won this contest? And mind you, Dawn, there were hundreds of entries. Listen.
"Hello, this is Garrison Speak, the winner of the 2008 Bulwer Lytton Fiction Contest. I'm calling from Washington, D.C., and here is my award-winning sentence. Theirs was a New York love, a checkered taxi ride burning rubber. And like the city, their passion was open 24/7, steam rising from their bodies like slick streets, exhaling warm, moist, white breath through manhole covers stamped, forged by Delaney Brothers, Piscataway, New Jersey. Awful, ain't it?"
You have to like him for the awful, don't you?
So, Dawn, what do you think about that?
You know, I think I've heard worse. I don't think it's the worst thing I've ever heard. It's a little overdone. What I might do with something like that is write it, sit with it for a while, and then go back with a pencil and take out maybe a third of what's going on there.
So let's talk about what you think does make a good book. Like, what is it when you get, how many manuscripts do you get a week, a month, or a year even?
Well, we probably get 40 solicited submissions a month, and And then I would say, you know, kind of who knows how many, because there's no bar for writing. And can take out a word processor and say I'm a writer and then send it to a publisher. So we get hundreds of unsolicited manuscripts a year.
And so when you pick up a book and start reading it, I mean, what does it look like that will force you to put the book down very quickly?
Well, we're looking for a reason to put the submission down because there's just so many of them. And what I'm looking, what keeps me going is kind of economics of language, a kind of, I want to say smart use of language, but also beauty. I'm looking for beauty, and that doesn't mean everyone has to write like Toni Morrison, but I am looking for a kind of rhythm in the language, a kind of lyricism. Something that keeps me going.
Oh, I think I have it for you. Listen to this one. Bill swore the affair had ended, but Louise knew he was lying after discovering Tupperware containers under the seat of his car, which were not the off-brand containers she bought to save money, but authentic, burpable, lidded Tupperware. And she knew he would see that woman again, because unlike the flimsy fake containers that should always be recycled responsibly, real Tupperware must be returned to its rightful owner.
Aha.
See? Doesn't that have everything that you wanted?
I'm going to go search my cabinets for Tupperware that may not be mine.
See? Marital tips and excellent literature.
Exactly.
What more could you ask for?
Not much.
Yeah, okay.
But it is a fun competition, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it's totally fun.
And the winner actually gets something, which is not only to get on, to be on the takeaway, but they also, he got a prize of $250.
So Don won half the prize. She got to be on the takeaway.
She got to be.
Don,
well, yes, exactly.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Don Davis, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Don Bye-bye. Davis is an editor at the book publisher HarperCollins. She had very specific thoughts on what makes good or bad writing.
I hope we all took notes. I'm Catherine Lanfer, reminding you I'm in for John Hockenberry, and that we're always on at The Takeaway, Facebook, friend feed, Twitter.
On today's show, we're talking about how the world in the United States is changing. By 2042, minorities will be the new majority. Tell us what you think about that at 877-8-MY-TAKE or at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Well, we also talked to some young swimmers today, and on our website, thetakeaway.org. We have a fantastic video of our own Femi Okeh speaking with young swimmers about what she calls the Michael Phelps effect.
And speaking of the Olympics, here's our takeaway.
Took his parents to see the Great Wall of China afterwards, only to see them both nearly get struck by lightning.
Oh my, that was our dear friend Ollie Williams from the BBC reporting, talking about British canoeist David Florence, who took a disastrous trip with his parents to the Great Wall of China.
Hey, next week, The Takeaway is going on the road. Can you say road trip? Talking with voters across the country about the issues that matter to them. Takeaway political director Andrea Bernstein and web producer Adam Hirsch will be checking in with us daily on the web at thetakeaway.org and also on the air. I'm Catherine Lanfer for John Hockenberry.
And I'm Adora Udoji, and you're listening to The Takeaway.